Today's smartphones make it relatively easy to record and monitor suspected lawbreaking, and in real time. But what about those crimes that took place in the pre-smartphone era? Word-of-mouth producer Rebecca Lavoie tagged along with an unusual gumshoe, one who scours old buildings for evidence of architectural crimes.
When you find yourself looking for clues to solve a mystery, it's easy to think that you should do it like those guys do on TV.
No, I don't need your name to arrest you. I can call you John Doe.
To lift prints off visitor stall number 4.
You don't fall 3 stories, get up and run away.
You do. You've got something to hide.
But what if it's a building with something to hide? Enter the forensic architect.
They just put the trusses in and the windows in and sort of ignored.
Yeah, the
one ignored the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris Carley has spent his career as an architect designing homes, commercial buildings, even the space our radio station studio occupies. But a few years ago, his career took a bit of a turn. Now, he's the guy you call when you have a structural mystery on your hands. But Chris isn't exactly what you picture when you think of CSI. For one, he wears a bow tie, and he doesn't use luminol or dust for prints. And I think it's a fair guess that there's no dark, high-tech laboratory in his offices.
Forensic architecture, essentially, is the study of buildings to figure out what's wrong with them and what to do about it. And most of the time, what's wrong with them has to do with water getting in.
Chris and I are exploring Phoenix Hall in downtown Concord with the building's owner, Mark Zabrowski. It's an unoccupied theater space above some storefronts, unoccupied mostly because of the way it was built. There's just no easy way to get up here.
Oh, there's a bird in here.
Yep.
We get off an elevator barely big enough for the three of us and walk into the theater. It's a huge space with exposed brick walls, an old wooden stage, Palladian windows, and a balcony holding rows of seats with hat holders underneath them.
One of the things that always interests me about theater spaces is because they require a large, wide-open space without a lot of columns in the way so people can see. The engineers and the architects who designed the original building have to figure out a way to span a long distance with a roof, which most buildings don't require. And it's always interesting to me to see how they did that. And in this case, they did it.
Chris explains that he's mostly interested in the fabric of the building, the walls, the roof, the window frames. His work is built around investigating structural flaws in those pieces, uncovering hidden mistakes, and tracing the trail of problems that haunt a building, as well as drain its owner's wallet. He does use a few impressive CSI-ish tools, like an infrared scanner, but for the most part, his bag of tricks is a little more garden variety, literally.
Sometimes I use a garden hose, and I'll fish around with the garden hose systematically, usually involving an assistant, to try and figure out where the water is getting in by applying it on the outside in certain places. You use your eyes a lot, and common sense, or at least knowledge of building science and the way buildings are built.
Here in New England, piecemeal architecture is practically part of the landscape. Take the style of home called a New Englander. It's basically a farmhouse with a series of additions added as the homeowner's needs changed. Chris says that it's not too difficult to trace the history of a building like that. Often, it's less about detective work and more about understanding how it used to be done around these parts.
So a lot of those buildings were developed around standard plans that you can still find in libraries and so on. So if I'm really interested in how a house was developed, the first place I would look would be a book of stock plans from around that time to see where in the house it conforms to those patterns. And then you look for things in the structure that are anomalous, which is...
As interesting as that might be to a history buff like Chris, I'm a little more interested in watching him solve a mystery on his feet.
There's a pigeon flying around in here. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yeah.
Would you be able to figure out where that pigeon is coming from?
That would be very difficult. I'd have to look for a broken window.
But it's not just birds haunting Phoenix Hall.
Yeah, that's about as forensic as it gets.
It's as forensic as it gets.
We head downstairs to the ground floor, where Mark tells Chris about the unusual find a workman made when he was pulling down part of the ceiling for repair.
Teeth! Lots and lots of teeth.
So the dentist was just shoving them into the floor, huh? Whole bridges.
Whole bridges, and these are ones with gold on them.
Chris doesn't have an answer for the teeth, but he reminds us about those old medicine cabinets that used to have a slot for razor blades in the back. Apparently, there's a lot of weird stuff hidden within the walls and ceilings of old buildings. It all sounds very detective-y when he talks about it, so I ask him to put his role into the perspective of other investigative professions.
I believe the word forensic means the study of things as they are, with the idea of trying to figure out how they got that way. So you have forensic medicine where doctors will look at a piece of tissue or a whole body and try and figure out how it got dead. Forensic architecture is similar, although not as nefarious. We're looking at the way things are and trying to figure out, A, how they got that way, and B, what to do about it.
Do you try to do anything to make it more nefarious?
Like, no.
Do you have any special forensic architecture outfits?
Well, I did have a deerstalker hat and a magnifying glass and a calabash pipe, but my teeth aren't strong enough to hold it, and it kept falling out of my mouth, which was not good for business.
So now that we know that Chris doesn't mind playing the part of detective in his role of forensic architect, it kind of brings to mind just one more question.
So do you think people would watch a procedural television show about forensic architects on the case?
It depends on how attractive the architects were, I think. If the show were going to star me, I'm afraid it might not go very far in the ratings. But if we could get, Paul Newman played an architect once in a movie, or Tom Selleck, he played an architect. If you had an architect that looked like that doing forensic architecture, I think the show would be great.
I think that we need to have more, you know, body outlines and luminol, too, probably to spice it up a little.
A chalk line around a 2x4 on the floor. How did this 2x4 get here? Who had a motive to put this 2x4 here? And what's this strange scar on the side of the 2x4?
Coming up, Homeland Security meets Jersey Shore.